Hi, Emmaus. Welcome back to the Proclaim and Display podcast, episode 51, where we help you show and tell the gospel to your neighbors and the nations. Back in the studio today with Jaron.
Hello, everybody.
So, Jaron.
Yes.
Easter podcast.
How about that?
We're excited about Holy Week.
Easter already?
It is. Early. Feels like an early Easter.
Oh, it definitely
date
is
on the calendar. I know.
To be in March.
Yeah, the way the calendar changes calendar related to Jewish holidays and then how the Christian calendar fits into this, it's all very complicated. But
I need to shift spring break a little bit earlier if Easter is going to be this early, just to help my mental strain of
it's so interesting how that works out. So podcast 51 having nothing to do with Area 51, of course, talking about Easter. So Area 51, you ever been to Roswell, New Mexico?
I have not.
All right.
I've been through New Mexico. I've been to like the Red River, Taos area.
Okay. Yeah.
Nowhere else.
Not southern New Mexico. Nope. Obviously, Area 51 is not Roswell, New Mexico. It just made me think about that when I was thinking about it. So, all right. We better bring this back on the rails here for a second. Emmaus, what we have for you today with the podcast this week, Jaron and I are going to introduce Holy Week. Kind of the way that works at Emmaus, if you're not familiar with it, we're going to aim for 4 or 5 minutes to do this. And then after we talk about Holy Week, Easter week, you could even, if you kind of know those plans, feel forward to jump forward in the podcast, maybe a couple of minutes to the 5 or 6 minute mark. But what we have for you after talking about Holy Week is we have an interview with a couple who last year at Easter, they had a powerful experience of God's work and mercy and grace in their lives. And I just thought it would be the perfect story to share at Easter. So right after we talk about Easter and Holy Week events for a little bit, we're going to transition to that interview that I did with a couple, Ben and Kendra, who are related to one of our Emmaus families. So, Jaron, we think about Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday night, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Thursday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
The building is open for our prayer walkthrough, Holy Week prayer walkthrough. Sometimes we talk about Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. What do you think about on that prayer walkthrough?
Oh, I think it's a great, it's just a good yearly rhythm to just kind of pause, and we just live such busy lives, and it's good to, like, you know, frame a solid half hour or longer or shorter, whatever your pace is, just to walk through this and just to take some time to think deeply about the things surrounding the Easter holiday and what we celebrate. I think for me personally, I obviously am rewarded by that. I think the thing that has stuck out to me as a dad is, one, giving Christine and I time to do that on our own, but to strategically plan a time to bring our boys up.
Yeah.
To walk through with our boys. We've had, it has been an opportunity that we are given to have some really heart-shaping conversations centered around the gospel, and to give them an opportunity to ask questions that will eventually lead to more questions down the road. So
it's hard to explain what this event is well, but it's an interactive prayer walkthrough. And so you walk through different stations that have to do with Holy Week. And I think because it's so visual for kids, it prompts these conversations. I know for adults, it's just a chance, like you said it really well, just to slow down, to think about God's work in our lives. And so if you've not been to this, I hope you'll come and be a part of this. If this is a great opportunity to bring kids, grandkids, friends, it's a really unique opportunity. So that's Wednesday night, 5 to 7 p.m. It's a come and go. 20 to 30 minutes is probably average for someone to go through this time. And then Thursday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., it's open. The building's open as well. So you just come in that main worship center. All right, Friday night, Good Friday. Talk to us about that, what the plan is.
So it's a really unique service, and I love the particular thing about it that I love is that we do it in our lobby. So it's not
Which we're maxing out the space.
Yes, we are.
I hope we fit, but it's so fun to be in there.
I would rather squeeze a few more chairs somewhere else. Like, we'll put them on top of the coffee counters, coffee bar counters when we need to. But no, it's just a really simple, like, an acoustic service where we sing a bunch of hymns. We're reading scripture together. You know, you usually walk through a brief devotion. So, I mean, what?
45 minutes? Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you think about Good Friday and what that entails. You're thinking about the cross and thinking about our sin and what God did to meet us where we're at, to save and rescue us. And so it's just a very focused service, but one that's real rewarding.
Yeah, I think the simplicity and focus of that service and our whole church family, different generations, yeah, together, and whoever can be here that Friday night at 6:30, it is, mm-hmm, it's really special.
Well, and just in the lobby, there's an what is the ambience?
Yeah, it's all different. The voices, yeah,
it just come shining through. I mean, it's just it's a good excuse to, like, hey, let's go to the Good Friday service and let's go grab a burger afterwards or, yeah, whatever, with your family or with friends or whatever. So it's just a good opportunity.
Yeah, I think through most of my life, I've probably not fully appreciated that Good Friday worship gathering and what that means for Holy Week. So that's been important to me, mm-hmm, to me personally. And then Sunday morning.
Oh yeah,
Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day.
Absolutely. What do we got?
9:15, 10:45. Yep. Same service,
yeah,
both times, same music, same preaching, choir in both services.
Yes. Courtney will have the kids' hallway. Is that, yep, right in the back of our...
Available before both of the, yeah, services. I think it's about 30 minutes before each service, because, yeah, we don't do Sunday school, uh-huh, on Easter Sunday morning.
Right. No, that's a good call. And then if you're like us and you rarely find a time to have a family photo... We will have a couple, maybe one or two places for your family to have an Easter family pic. And so bring your cell phones that day, obviously, to take your pictures. And
you know, when I think about Easter Sunday morning service, just the joy of seeing families come in. You know, we'll have families who are traveling other places, being with their family, but then we'll also have families from out of town who are here, people out of town. And unfortunately, sometimes we grew up in a church situation where it was easy to make fun of people who came, mm-hmm, Christmas only, Easter only, CEO Christians, mm-hmm, you know, Christmas, Easter only. But I think the Lord has really softened my heart over the years about that if someone's here and Easter is, absolutely, their church attendance for the year, we're going to love them.
Absolutely.
Care for them, present the gospel. We want it to be a place of hospitality and grace, yeah, that they walk into. Yeah. So,
well, and just to be hospitable towards them.
Absolutely, you know, yeah.
Stepping into the church for the first time ever or in a long time is like more difficult than us regulars realize.
It absolutely is. And so we want Easter Sunday to be a place of joy and peace and hope. And so I'm excited about that. All right. We need to get to this interview. So I think we laid it out. Prayer walkthrough, Good Friday, Easter Sunday morning.
Got it.
That's the plan coming up. Emmaus, I really hope you enjoy this interview as you think about the power of the cross, the resurrection, how God works in our lives. I think you're going to be really, really encouraged by this. We love you, and we will see you soon. All right, Emmaus, we are leading up to Easter, and Ben and Kendra have an incredible story of God's power and grace in their lives. They shared it with some of our church family. Also, I know many of you have caught the video that was done about their lives through Crossing, and that was really cool. But we wanted to get their story on the podcast as we think about Easter, prepare for Easter, think about the cross and the resurrection. So we're going to work that story in as part of our Easter podcast. But before we do that, Kendra and I have a little bit of a connection through her mom. So Kendra's mom, Karen, Neil and Karen Reeser here at Emmaus. Karen, what was her main name? Baker?
Baker.
Baker. Okay, so back in the day, I was born, Emmaus, in a little town called O'Keene. So O'Keene is out west, northwest of Oklahoma City. And when I first came to Emmaus, and then Neil and Karen came and I met them and we made the O'Keene connection, I went home and told my parents, and my dad was like, I remember her. So we broke out the O'Keene high school yearbooks. We won't say the year, but let's just say early 80s, maybe. And there she is. There's Karen.
Go Whippets.
Go Whippets. Yes, that's exactly right. So my mom and dad still have a picture from the Pizza Inn in O'Keene, which I'm sure is not there anymore, but it says up there, a baby boy for niece or something like that. So when you're the coach in a small town, that's what you get. So have you been back to O'Keene anytime?
Yes, it's been a while, yeah, but so many memories.
Yeah. I drove through there a couple of years ago thinking my kids would really love it to go back to see where dad was born. they were not impressed. Like, it was just like, I was like, okay, and I'm gonna keep driving. It was cool for me, but I'm not sure my you know, my kids thought much about it. So O'Keen, pick up the story. You don't have to go back to O'Keen, obviously, Kendra, but pick up the story just about God's work in your life. When you tell your testimony, coming to know Jesus, growing up, what's your story of faith?
Yeah, so I grew up with, you know, Neil and Karen, like you guys know, in a Christian home, raised Southern Baptist, and I went to college and then got a job in Oklahoma. So that's what brought me here.
Because you guys were in Kansas, right?
We were in Kansas.
Yep.
My sister married someone from Oklahoma, so she moved first. I graduated college, got a job down here, so I moved second. And then quickly after that, my parents came. And then so I started working here. And eventually, Ben and I met at Crossings.
Oh, nice. So are you an Oklahoma guy, Ben, or did you end up moving in?
Well, so I moved when I was three. I was a Missouri guy.
Okay.
Yep. I was born near, kind of around Kansas City, a small town called Moberly, Missouri, which you would have to absolutely put in your Google Maps to find out where that
is. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not tracking that one. So did you grow up in a home of faith, a Christian home, or did you come to faith later in life? What's that story?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a home of faith for sure. My dad is a pastor, and he's been a pastor in a small town called Newcastle, Oklahoma, at Woodland Hills Baptist Church. And so we moved down here in 1991, 92, and so I grew up in a church, was, you know, borderline born in a church, and then so have grown up there my whole life, and yeah, that's where my foundation is.
Yeah, and I kind of set you up on that question because so many people here at Emmaus know Woodland Hills, and you know, and know that background. I wanted to make sure they knew that there was a connection there. So
absolutely.
When a lot of people around here hear that church, they immediately, you know, have connections there. So then you guys meet at Crossings. People don't, sometimes we say Crossings in the Oklahoma City Metro and everybody knows exactly what you're talking about, but fill in the blanks there about Crossings, where it's located, and kind of how you guys met there.
Yeah, yeah. Crossings Community Church off Portland and Memorial up north, northwest Oklahoma City. It's a pretty large church up there. It's from Belle Isle, originally in Oklahoma City. And so they moved there, man, a few decades ago to the northern campus there, and just have been growing since. Marty Grubbs is the lead pastor. Kendra and I both ended up there in the young adults ministry. That's what drew us there at the time, and we were both working kind of in that area and living up in that area. And that's kind of that's where we connected and met, was literally in church. They say there's not a better place to meet somebody.
Yeah. How do you tell the story? Is that how you tell the story too? What's the wife's version of the story? That's always the one we really want to get here. So
we separately became a part of young adults, and eventually I joined a women's group, and I met a girl named Jackie. Jackie had this boyfriend named Mark. Mark had this best friend named Ben. And so that started just the friendship and like hanging out with friends. So mutual friends, but via Crossings.
Turns into double dates and turns into you guys can go your own way. We're going to go over here.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's really fun. So life accelerates. You guys get married, kids begin to come along, all these things are happening. And then catch people up. I'm not even super clear on this timeline, but life takes a huge turn for you guys. What's the timeline we're talking about? And tell people kind of what began to happen in your life there.
Yeah, kind of this week kind of celebrates exactly 1 year ago.
Has it
this
been,
week?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, 1 year.
That I was admitted to the hospital, and I don't remember the month following, so Ben can take it over from there.
Yeah. No, it was a wild story. Still is a wild story ongoing. So, yeah, about a year ago in March of 23, so Kendra had been under not full diagnosis, but been looking out for multiple sclerosis. She had some headaches and things, and so there were some brain lesions they found on MRI scans. And so it was a couple years of just, you know, watching for that, seeing if anything was going to come out of it. She was not diagnosed with MS, but they didn't know what else to call it. And then the month of March hit, and what happened, she had about a dozen strokes that just kind of occurred. Now, I did not know what was happening.
Right.
What it looked like from the outside was she just had these bad headaches, went in bed, and she stayed in bed for like about 3 or 4 days, didn't hardly get up. And it became like an emergency for me of, okay, we got to get her some fluids and things.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
Went to the ER, and 6 weeks later was when we came out of the hospital. So it was a long stretch.
Word. Yeah. So going into the ER, they begin to see the seriousness of what's going on here.
Absolutely.
Find yourself in. And to your point just there, Kendra, you don't remember any of this. This is just...
I don't.
Yeah. Shocking. And so do you...
I don't even know enough about your story. Do you remember the exit from the hospital 6 weeks later? Do you remember leaving at that point? So
I kind of snapped out of it maybe week four of being in the hospital and just looking around, looking at the countdown that was on the whiteboard of days till we could leave.
Yeah.
So it feels like we were only there for like a week or two.
Yeah.
And then...
And Ben over here. Ben. Into the rest of the family, into people who were praying for you guys from a distance. So impossible question to answer here, Ben, but as a husband in that moment, what's God doing in your life? Working through that, now that you have a year away, what do you think back on?
Oh, man, great question. The grace of God is such a theme through this whole deal, and you can just read about it just in the text of the Bible. Honestly, what happened, whenever everything went down with Kendra's health, it was the strokes, her brain. For those that are listening and that are familiar with strokes, this was a totally separate thing. It totally wiped out her brain. Her body was really healthy. So everything, there was no concern of like clots or blockage. So she was really healthy, but she had severe brain damage across her entire brain. So picture someone that she was in her early 30s and then all of a sudden couldn't talk, couldn't walk. She had her eyes open and she could look around, and that was the extent of her brain capacity.
Right.
And so that's where we started and went weeks into it, trying to build up being able to talk on her own, being able to eat on her own and things like that. For me as her husband, I was sitting there day one in the hospital, right? All of this is brand new news to me, that she had these about a dozen strokes, unsure of how quickly and how much of her brain capacity she'll get back. And so all of a sudden you have these thoughts in your mind of, okay, we have our two young boys that are 5 and 3. We have these expectations or hopes even of what our family's going to look like down the road and, what we're going to do together as a family. And then all of that is tested and shaken and thinking, okay, God, what on earth do you have in store for me? The two big thoughts, Owen, that I thought about were, and again, by the grace of God, this passage of scripture in Daniel 3, those that are familiar with the story of the furnace. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're called before King Nebuchadnezzar. And man, their response to him was so, so powerful. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Bow before this idol, before me, or I'll throw you into the furnace." And they said, "We serve a God that will save us, but even if he doesn't, he is still God." And so
that
God,
even if he doesn't, faith is, oh my gosh.
Is that not something else, man?
So
to answer this, to summarize, I guess, the answer to that question, as the husband, as Kendra's husband, I'm sitting there thinking, God, most importantly to me, I don't want to lose my faith in you, and I don't want to be angry with you. Help align my faith with yours. I don't know where Kendra's faith is at, so protect her. If I'm obviously selfishly praying for you to heal her, but even if you don't, God, you were faithful. You are still God, regardless of what happens in this life. So I will serve you. I need help. Help me serve you and love you, and we'll just see where this goes.
Yeah. And over those weeks, man, it's so powerful. I think about the end of Habakkuk 3. At the end of the book of Habakkuk, you get that same idea. Even if the fig trees, don't bud, and even if those grapes and olives don't come, and the flocks aren't there, even still, I will praise you.
Even
and
so still, man.
That Daniel 3, Habakkuk 3 connection. So over those 6 weeks, I would imagine some days that faith is super strong and you're great, and then other days you're just like riding the roller coaster.
For sure.
Assuming you had down days, and it's okay if you didn't, but assuming there were down days, what did that look like on those days that you were just barely holding on you were struggling? What made the difference at that time? Again, God's grace is
Sure. For sure, God's grace. And how that manifests, how that looked, man, it was just that close friend. A close friend showed up. His name's Simeon Alibrando. The first day in the hospital, we didn't know what was going on. He just showed up and he texted me. He said, "Hey, I took off work. You don't have to come and talk to me, but I'm outside in the waiting area for just if you need some decompression." Yeah. I literally went out and just hugged him.
Wow.
He hugged me, and I'm just a mess, man.
Yeah.
I sobbed on his shoulder, and he prayed for me, went back in, and it was moments like those. It would take an hour for me to list out all the names that were there. And it was, you read about the new church in the New Testament, or the early church in the New Testament, and man, like seeing how God wraps his arms around you through his people, we read about it. And you never want to be that person that's wrapped around it through in that moment. And it's like, okay, God, I've read about this and I feel you. Maybe let me be the arms next time.
But this time I need this. And Kendra, you, during this time, obviously, you're the recipient of prayers that you don't even know is happening. You don't know anything going on behind the scenes. As you start to reach those final weeks, though, and things are taking a turn, tell us about those last couple of weeks. And as you start to head out of the hospital, what's going on in your life at that point?
It was very strange to leave that hospital. It was exciting, but it definitely felt like I should not be outside of the hospital. What is this world?
What am I doing?
And when he was telling me all these things that I didn't even know that happened, or he didn't remember that he told me or not, it was just, all I can look back is, how did God take care, how was Ben taken care of in all of this? And it, what I can just pinpoint is the people that God used in the rehab hospital and the ER and like in all of it. There are people that either we knew beforehand, one of them being the ER doctors.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Who we had plans with the week that I went into the hospital.
Oh, you knew them before you.
Our neighbor's a physician at Mercy Hospital. Oh, we had plans with them. I had to cancel them because I said, dude, I don't know what's going on with Kendra. Yeah. But and then 4 days later, I text him. I'm like, dude, I got to get to the ER. And he told me exactly what to do. Yeah. He met us there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So with him and then my physical therapist and occupational therapist in the rehab hospital are firm believers.
Yeah.
And they asked to pray with Ben for me at their small group. Like a few weeks in, the cafeteria ladies, I mean, it's like everywhere. Yeah. My case manager's daughter worked with Ben at a time. So, I mean, it's just scattered throughout of people we did not know at all, in a way, loving on us and caring for us, making us feel and know that God was still taking care of us in this insanity.
That is amazing how God, we use the phrase, like we grew up in church, we use the phrase body of Christ, you know, and we kind of throw the phrase around. But this is truly like Christ people at work in your lives. So, okay, so we want to tell your story as part of thinking about Easter and the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, all of those things. There's a question that we're thinking through at Emmaus this Easter, and it's the question, what's next? So something like this happens in your life. You experience God's grace and power and redemption, and I don't even know the right way to put this, Kendra, but like just a new lease on life for you going into a situation where you don't know what's going to happen, and now here's this opportunity. Talk to me for a second about you go through something like this, God's grace, power of Easter. How does it change the way you live? Like, how does it change this last year? And how does it change the way you think about the future? Just kind of talk me through some of those things. You experienced this. What's next?
Yeah, it definitely takes away a lot of stress that would have been there prior. Everything is truly not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, like, we're talking about school for our children. Yeah. And, like, okay, school's coming. They're going to go to school. And, like, that's truly, at this point in time, where my thought process goes. It's like, they're going to go to school.
Yeah, yeah.
There should be no fear about where or how it goes. Because, I mean, God has him in his hands, just like he had me and has me in his hands.
Yeah.
So it's just a non-stressful way to go through the upcoming things.
I want to be careful drawing the connection here, but you think in the New Testament, the story of Lazarus, and I've always asked myself, like, how did Lazarus live differently, you know, when he came out of that tomb? Like, was he just a, you know, a totally different guy? He's I've been on the other side of this. Like, I've seen that. Now I've got this, you know, this new opportunity at life. Anything for you stand out?
Oh, yeah. Ben, on this? Yeah, I would say for Kendra and I both, our perspective, what she just hit on, our perspective in life is different. So imagine, like, the conversations you have today, and then you have this, for those that have gone through life, traumatic events and things like that, the conversations you have, the week after, the month after, the year after that happened, they're a lot more intentional, right? Ooh, they're a lot deeper. And so people bring, you know, the concerns and issues, and, you know, like, not to underplay, like, people care about where their kids go to school, and as we do too. Those are really small things, you know, in the grand scheme of life. And so be able to sit down and talk to people and love on them and hear about them. Like, our hearts are so much softer and sensitive to what's happening in people's lives and how God has worked in us and caring for those who are going through something traumatic for them and whatever that looks like. And thinking back, you asked about those low moments that I was struggling with. And, okay, how did people care for me there in those moments? God helped me to be that heart for them. Help me to be that hand or that foot or that, you know, arms wrapped around them the way you did for me. And so what does life look like, you know, going forward? It really looks like pouring out God's love and being God's body, being God's, you know, his body, his arms, his legs, everything for those, you know, in the body of Christ and also just into the community where we serve, just here.
Yeah, opens up so many opportunities. Yeah. I think hearing you talk there, it makes me think about that passage early in 2 Corinthians 1 about blessed be the God of all comfort. So he comforts us in all of our distress so we can turn around and comfort others with the same comfort that we've received. And you guys have been comforted deeply.
Yeah.
And because of that, you've got this comfort that you can pour out because you're like, you know what it is, you know, to experience that. And you're going to connect with people because of the situation in a way you could have never. I can imagine that, you know, conversations with wives and moms that you'll be able to have, you know, because you didn't ask to go through this.
Yeah.
You didn't sign up to go through this, but you have. And the way that changes, you know, and opens up, it's a cheesy way to say it, but it opens up doors, opens up opportunities, conversations. So anything else? Just I know we sped through a 6-hour story here, but I wanted people to hear. And I had even missed how closely connected this was to Easter last year. So we have Easter last year, you know, power of redemption, Easter this year, what's next, you know, for you guys and think about moving forward. What from your story that we missed that you would want to share? Anything when you guys have a chance to share your story, anything that we missed that you would want to get out there to people before we close?
Man, for me, it really hones in around God's providence, which hopefully people heard through the message of how God was there in so many relationships, doors that have been opened, or the way people were acting out as God's body and, you know, loving. God's always around us, and we don't always see it in our friendships, you know, in our connections we have, and the way he moves, we don't see it until we're in that moment of need, and you look back even, and you're thinking, God, you were always with me.
Yeah.
You were never not with me.
Yeah.
And so his providence and his sovereignty bring me to that point. You know, even if, you know, that even if faith, God's sovereign in our successes and he's sovereign in our good health and the things that we want, but he's just the same sovereign guy, even if, same sovereign God, even if we're broken.
Yeah.
And in those moments, it's God, you are still who you are and help me have that faith in you and the highs and the lows and all of it. And this invitation, I guess the third point really is, you know,
as a true pastor's son, you had to get that third point.
There's three points.
Way to go, man. I could not be prouder of you, man. Could not be prouder of you at that point. So I celebrate that. So now if you can remember the third point,
I took it
out of you. So no, I got keep rolling. Oh, man,
that was perfect. Invitation. God loves each and every one of us, you know, and it's not, he doesn't love us less or more than another. He loves all of us equally. And it really, the question is, how far are we willing to engage that invitation? In that moment in the hospital, sitting there broken in tears, and I'm just thinking, God, you were there and you're putting the scripture on my heart. I want to engage with you. Take me deeper. Take me closer to you because that's where healing, that's where hope, that's where all of this exists.
Because in that pain, you can easily run away.
That's it.
Grow hard, that's grow bitter, turn away,
yeah.
Or you turn in.
You turn into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that's so good. So, well, I'd love to pray for you guys. Pray for Emmaus. Emmaus, as you think about Easter this year, power of the cross, power of the resurrection, and then when we experience that power, what's next? How does God transform our lives through Easter to then be his people, to live that out? So let's pray for this couple. Let's pray for people we're reaching out to this Easter, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. God, thanks for the gift of this conversation. I heard bits and pieces of this story and seen videos and prayed for this couple, but God, it's so good just to hear how you have been at work in their lives in incredible ways over the last year. And we know that that work in their lives did not start last March. God, you have been at work just all throughout their lives, and the gift of a good family, a family of faith, and both biological family and also church family. And God, through their story, we see the importance of the church. We talk about going to church, but it's so good when we can be the church for one another. Be there to share your love, your comfort, your hope. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. And God, I pray for Ben and Kendra and their family. God, help them to continue to walk by faith, that the what they've experienced in their lives would transform their lives for years to come and for generations to come. And so, God, thank you again for them being willing to share this with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, Emmaus. We'll see you soon.